Thank you. You have your Bible. Would you turn with me to the book of Leviticus? Leviticus, now the 26th chapter. We're moving down to our final messages in this great book. Only this week and next week, as God prepares us for the coming year by these final chapters of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, the 26th chapter. We're going to begin in the beginning, just reading a little bit, but dealing with the entire chapter. In chapter 26, verse 1, "You shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would just take this hour. Father, you'd take these moments, these precious few moments when we look to your word and use your word in our hearts. Father, prepare us for what is ahead by equipping us day by day. Use this moment. Draw us close to you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was a teen, and I really was a teen once upon a time, I had this constant dilemma. How do you do what you want to do without your parents exploding? How do you have fun as a teen? You know, parents just seem to be killjoys. They seem to have in their mind just that they want to do what they can do just to keep you down. Well, that's not really true, but that's the perception as a teen. Well, through the years, I've researched this dilemma. I researched it as a teen, and I've done a little more research going through as a parent, and now as a grandparent, and I have decided, there is only one answer. I've discovered how a teen can be happy, and how a parent can be happy, and how both can be happy at the same time. The question has troubled young people for ages. There is a way for a teen to get to do the maximum amount of fun activities that is possible for them to do and for their parents still to have a smile on their faces without drugs. I have shared this principle before. I will share this principle again. If you've heard it before, pack it away. If you ever are with a teenager, you will need to share it with them. And teens, I know that you've heard me say it, whether you've heard me say it or not. All you have to do to make life pleasurable for you and to make life pleasurable for your parents is real simple. Do what they want. I know it sounds complex, and it boggles the mind that something so seemingly hard could really be so easy. But it's true. Any teen that will do what their parents want, and this is a little bit better, do what your parents want without them telling you. I mean, you know what they want. They kind of say what they want. But when you can do it without them telling you, especially without them having to tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you. And tell you. Now, the other side of this wonderful plan to free you as a teen is don't do what they don't want you to do. If you will do what they want, not do what they don't want, I assure you, your parents will do everything in their power, everything in their economic possibilities to make your life a joy. And you will be blessed beyond measure. It's true. Any parent would tell you it's true. Those parents were teens, and they didn't do it right when they were teens, but they want you to do it right because you're their teens. Just do what your parents say. Don't do what they don't want you to do. Now, doesn't that sound like a good principle? Don't you think it will work? I truly believe it will. And I want you to get it in your minds as adults, because this is the same principle by which we need to live with God. We need to do the things God wants us to do, and we need to not do those things that He does not want us to do. How can you expect God to bless your life if you are not willing to live according to His will? How can you expect to be blessed in 2018 if in 2018 you're intent on living away from God? You want to live against God's standards. You want to live against God's principles. Oh, but you want God's blessings. If you are constantly failing to do even the simple things that God expects out of you, how do you expect God to bless your life? How do you expect God to pour out what He wants to pour out upon you to bless you? How can you expect God's blessings if you are actively living as His enemy? Now that really is the question you need to answer if you want to be happy in 2018. You need to determine that you are going to live by God's standards, for God's will, for God's purpose, according to God's plan, because it is only in doing that that you will have showers of blessings. And God wants this to be very clear, and so we see the clearing in this chapter. In verse 1, you shall make no idols nor carved image, neither shall you rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. From the start of chapter 26, God moves to make things very clear. He wants things clear for you. He's not trying to hide His purposes from you. He's not trying to hide His will. He's trying to make things as clear as they can possibly be. In the Ten Commandments, He makes it clear. Exodus 20, verse 2. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus makes this clear. He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37 is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Do you remember when Moses went to get the Ten Commandments? He went up the Mount Sinai to get the law. He was up there a long time with God. God was giving him the law for His people. And then Moses comes down, and when he comes down, he finds all the children of Israel gladly worshiping, waiting on the answers from God. No. He finds all the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf that they themselves have made while Moses was up the mountain talking with God. Here they are. They are the people that have been freed from Egypt. They are the people that witnessed all the plagues fall upon the people of Egypt so that they might go through. These are the same people that stood before the Red Sea while Pharaoh's army came crushing down, and the Red Sea parted and they went across on dry ground. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I've heard that a lot. I've said that a lot. But I don't know how much I've really thought about the fact that the sea parted and they walked on dry ground. Most ground that has just been wet is not dry. So God not only parted the sea, He made them a dry roadbed to make sure they could go through the bed. And these are the people that went through that. They went through all of that. They saw the waves crash down on Pharaoh's army. They were there walking and waiting on words from God, the God that they had witnessed. And while Moses was away, they built a golden calf. And then they started to worship what they built. It really is kind of unthinkable. You kind of think, what crazy people. How dumb is it to bow down to a golden object that you made anyway? My friend, you can go to all the places of the planet and you will find remnants of where people have done exactly that. We can think, well, you know, those people olden days must have been totally out of their minds. Certainly nobody today would do something like that. In today's world, people bow down to all kinds of gods without calling them gods. In today's world, people are putting things in front of Almighty God, and perhaps you are doing the same without even thinking that that's exactly what you're doing. In today's world, there are people that replace the true God by saying there just isn't a God. There is no God at all. In fact, there is a championing in today's world of the atheistic thought. Just no God. No God anywhere, anyhow. People that think of a God are just playing to their imaginations. Well, the Bible says that a person will deny God is a fool. The word fool means without a mind. They have a mind, but they're not using their mind. You see, in the mind and heart of every individual, there is the knowledge that there is a God. Nobody had to really tell you there was a God. You just knew there was a God. You might not have known him, but you knew there had to be him. If you look at the complexity of the universe, you would know that there had to be a creator. There has to be a God. Perhaps you've heard of the Christian that was speaking to the atheist. Speaking to the atheist, the Christian asked, "Well, you're a pretty smart guy. There's a lot of knowledge in the world. How much of the world's knowledge would you say that you have?" The atheist didn't answer. So the Christian fills in the blanks. He says, "Well, let me ask this another way. Would you say that it's fair to say that you might possess 70% of all the world's knowledge?" Now think of all the knowledge of the world that there has ever been. To possess 70% would mean that you are brilliant beyond compare. And so impressing, the atheist said, "Yes, I think that would be generous." So the Christian said, "Well, if you have 70% of the world's knowledge, of all the world's knowledge, that's a huge amount of knowledge. But how much of the world's knowledge do you not have?" Well, having 70% of the world's knowledge, he was able to say 30%. To which the Christian said, "Well, okay, so let's say you have 70% of the world's knowledge, but there's 30% of the world's knowledge that you do not know. When you're talking about the world's knowledge, 30% of the world's knowledge is a huge amount of knowledge. And that's outside your world of knowledge. Would that be correct?" The atheist said, "Yes." And so the Christian said, "Is it possible in the 30% of the knowledge that you've already admitted that you do not have, that the God that you don't know exists?" And being a reasonable atheist, the atheist said, "Well, I would have to agree that in the knowledge that I don't have, God could exist." Well, the Christian said, "Well, I've got good news for you. You're really not an atheist at all. You're an agnostic. You're one." An agnostic says, "If God exists, I don't know him. And since you're saying that God could exist and 30% of the knowledge you don't have, you're just saying God could exist, but you don't know him." And the atheist said, "Yeah, that's right. That's me. I guess if there is a God, I don't know him." And so the Christian said, "Let me introduce him to you. His name is Jesus. He came from heaven's glory, was born in a manger, lived a life of perfection, died on a cross named Calvary, and there he died not because he deserved to die, but he died for your sins and mine. He was buried, he rose again, he is Almighty God, the God you don't know, but he wants to know you, and you can invite him to come into your life today, and you will no longer be an agnostic, you will be a believer." Well, is it possible that people today are following false gods? Is it possible people today are living away from the one true God because they will not put God in his proper position. Is there anything that you are putting in front of God? Anything you are scheduling in front of God? We're not only forbidden from bowing down to other gods, we're to keep the day of worship to the one true God. Worship is important. You see, church is not a take it or leave it thing for the child of God. God has always intended for his people to bow down before him, there to be a time of worship in their lives. That which comes between you and worshiping Almighty God just may be taking the place of God in your life. Be very cautious. Be cautious of social or athletic pursuits that stand in the way of your faithfulness to the only true God. Let me be clear. After all, this is the clearing. A major pursuit in today's world is athletics and ball. And in recent years, there's been the development of something called travel ball. And travel ball takes many families away from their homes on weekends. And it takes many families away from the church that they're a member of on weekends. Now, I'm not telling you that your family should not partake of sports on the weekend. What I am saying is, if he is your God, when you travel, find a way to worship him where you go. In most places you will travel to, if you're in that travel sports world, there's going to be a place that worships God. Find it. Take your family. Let them know that God is more important than the athletic pursuit. And if the scheduling makes that impossible, at least spend a time with your own family where you are praying and where you are seeking God's desires for you and your home. Then when you get back here, show up and honor God. And that would be true for you whether you are in a casual pursuit or whether you're in an athletic pursuit or whether, you're in a business pursuit. We need to make sure that we are putting God first and that we are putting no one or no thing in front of him. All the time. The clearing. And now that he's made things clear, there is the comforting. If you walk in my statutes, in verse 3 and 4, and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield in her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. If you'll put your faith in the Lord, if you'll obey his word, if you'll stand on his will, he will send his comfort, he will send his blessings. If you live according to his desires, he will bless and comfort your life. That's the same thing we were telling teenagers a minute ago. You do what God wants you to do. He promises to comfort your heart and your life. God will take care of his people. God will provide for his needs. To the Israelites, he told them in verse 5, you shall eat your food in plenty and shall dwell in the land securely. God is saying, if you will walk with me, I will take care of you. To the Christian in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In verses 6 through 10, it tells us that God will also provide peace for the faithful follower. You see, it wouldn't do any good to have food if you're too busy at war to eat the food. And it wasn't too busy to have food that was plenty if you were so stressed out by the worries of the world that you couldn't eat. And so my God can give you peace in your heart. Comfort that you are forgiven. Comfort that he will care for you. Comfort that he will guide you. Jesus said in John 14, peace I give unto you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My God can put a peace in your heart that can be greater for you than anything that will come against you or anyone. We need that kind of peace today. God even promises to keep them safe from the wild animals that were prevalent in their day in this passage. The people would have peace, and they would grow in the Lord, and they would fulfill His promises, and they would be His people, and they would share that message to others. That's what we are to do. In verse 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. If we'll obey the Lord, if we will worship the Lord, then the Lord will walk with us, and He will bless us. He's offering to Israel the same comfort He gave to Adam and Eve, where He would meet them in the garden and walk with them day by day. There is a comfort, friend, of walking with God. Try it. Try it not for a week. We got a whole new year. Let's try it this year. Let's walk with God. Let's walk in His blessing. Let's walk in His comfort. Let's find His peace. And let's share it with others. There's a comforting. But if you don't want to walk with Him, there's a chastening. In verses 14, 15, 16. But if you will not hearken unto me and not do the things of these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if you shall abhor my ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but you break my covenants, I will do this to you. Israel is told if they break God's covenant, if they live away from God, if they walk in failure instead of walking in faith, they will be defeated in battle, they will not have peace, and they will have mental and physical illnesses. We are in a nation filled with physical and mental illnesses, I believe many of which are directly attributable to walking away from God. There would be drought, poor harvest. God would move to punish His people. I'm not talking about the pagans. I'm saying God will punish His own people. Listen, Christian, I'm saying as a Christian, if you choose to walk away from God, God will bring a chastening to your life. A loving parents will correct their child, not with the purpose of hurting their child, but with the purpose of drawing their child back to what's right, what will bless them. Our God will chasten or spank His kids. And by the way, our God doesn't worry about corporal punishment. Our God will spank His kids to bring them back to Him, because that is the only way we will have His best. If you are God's child and you are willfully living away from God and you don't care about coming back to God, my friend, you are probably mistaken that you are God's child. The Bible says very clearly, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. In other words, if you're my kid, I'll take care of you. Now, in our family, we have two ways we talk about that. We talk about having someone at a restaurant, and you have a server at a restaurant that'll come and say, I'll take care of you. And then you have a server at a restaurant that says, I'll take care of you. Listen, God will take care of you if you walk with Him, but God will take care of you if you disobey Him. In fact, some parents have abandoned their role as a parent by failing to correct their own children. God's not that kind of parent. God would smash their pride. He would teach them humility. Listen, I would rather bow myself down to God than to have Him have to bow me down. I would rather be humble with the Lord than to lift up my pride and have it to be knocked down. Instead of rain, they would get drought. They would be tormented. When God does not give peace, mankind suffers inside and out. The horrors of war would go on in their hearts and outside their hearts. In fact, it speaks of the possibility that in Israel that the horrors of war would come upon them so much that they would be driven to cannibalism. And that did happen. Many would be slaughtered. People would be dispersed. Listen, this is Israel's covenant with God falling apart. If you won't keep the covenant with God, it falls apart. God will keep his word to you, but you need to keep your word to him. The promises to love his people are there. But when we step outside of God's will, he also promises to chasten us. So we need the confessing. In verse 40. If they shall confess their iniquities and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me. Verse 45, it says, I will for their sakes remember their covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Whether or not this confessing means that in the future Israel is going to come back to the Lord in the millennium and be blessed, we will one day see. But it does really mean God challenges us. He wants our lives to be lived according to his will and his purposes. He didn't draw us in to have us live away from him. My parents were very funny. They didn't care how everybody else's kids lived. I was to live by their standards. Listen, God doesn't care how the rest of the world is living. He cares about you. He wants you to live according to his will. You're to be a witness. You're to be an example. You're to be the one that draws other people to Jesus. That is your responsibility as God's child. If you will live by that, you will be blessed, and he will pour those blessings out upon you. But if you choose to disobey God, if you choose to live away from him and his worship, if you choose that you are not going to have his way, then God will take you to the chastening station. How we need as Christians to be honest with God and to be honest with our heart. And if we have stepped away from him, we need to bow before him. If we have gotten out of his will, we need to be honest with God and confess it to him. The Old Testament says to confess. The New Testament says to confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you walk with God? Well, you walk with God by bowing before God and letting him be God. Let him be God of your heart. Let him be God of your life. Let him give you forgiveness. Let him restore you. Let him guide you. Believer, there is a wonderful 2018 for you walking with the Lord that you're not going to find if you don't walk with the Lord. And so the choice is yours. If I could make you do it, you would be made. But I have to walk with the Lord, and I have to be responsible to the Lord for myself. And that's exactly what you have to do. And so, Christian, you know Jesus as your Savior. You're going to heaven when you die. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you need to be living for him in 2018 right here and now. You need to put away anything that is not of God in your life. You need to put it away. You need to confess it to him where you've stepped out of bounds. You need to ask for his forgiveness. He will give it. He will restore and he will bless. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, you won't have God's blessing until you know God. How do you know him? Well, come to know him. Come and just say, I want Jesus. He will come into your heart. He will forgive your sins. He will save your soul. He'll do it right now if you will come. God calls you to a decision. I pray that you'll make it. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and challenge to our hearts. We pray, Father, that you would move within us now. I pray, Father, for believers in this room. Father, that we would just not go along with the world's issues and the world's way, that we would take a stand, that we would mark, Father, a line in the sand that we say we will not cross, that we will stand for our Lord, we will put you first, we will confess our sins, we will walk with you all through this year, and we will start now. Father, I pray for those that are here that do not know you. Father, they have never received Jesus as their Savior. They've never invited you to forgive their sins and save their soul. And Father, you brought them here today so they could do that. Let them step out and come forward and just say, I want Jesus. And Father, in Jesus, forgive and save them. Father, right now, make a difference in our hearts for this coming year, that we might put you first, that we might allow you to be God of all of our life, and Father, that we might see your blessing. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.